Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
9, 2, 2013, 0:50 and 38 seconds.
911
emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. The tape just pushed some guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. I gotta take the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that round me.
We're not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
You need an ambulance?
Yes. No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello?
How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing fine. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing all right. You just heard a 911 call. A man by the name of Brandon Lawson. If that was the first time you heard that 911 call, it's really hard to understand. About the only thing you could decipher possibly is he's out in the middle of nowhere and he needs the cops. I know a lot of listeners have heard about this missing person. I know a lot of the listeners have analyzed the hell out of that 911 call. So we'll get into it later, but I just wanted you to hear it right off the bat and you can see how hard it is to understand. So there's a lot of debate over what's said in that call.
The disappearance of Brandon Lawson.
So date he went missing was August 9th, 2013. And it was between Bront, Texas, and Tennyson, Texas, along the highway 277.
Story in a nutshell is that he was at home with his girlfriend of about 10 years. They had three children together. And at some point that night, they got into a really bad argument. And he decided to get in his truck and drive toward his father's house, only he doesn't get there. His truck runs out of fuel. He ends up placing some calls after a deputy, as well as Brandon's brother, shows up to see what's going on. He is missing. He's not there anymore. His truck is there, but he is gone. and he has never been found since. Brandon Lawson has been with his girlfriend, Ledessa Lofton, for about 10 years at this point. They moved from Fort Worth, Texas, to San Angelo the year prior to this incident.
And he's been with her since, like, what, he was 16?
Right, since about the time he was 16, because at this point, Brandon is 26, and he and Ledessa have three children together. He also has a child from a previous relationship. He has three girls and a boy.
Yeah. You see that he has one kid from the time he was like 15 to 16 years old, and he has three more over the next 10 years. So really young guy, out of his element, being a father so young. So a little bit to that. I mean, and he lives in a very small town in Texas, so that's, you marry your high school sweetheart, you have kids with them, but he sounds like he kind of, his life started a little sooner than maybe he might have wanted.
And two of these children were very young at the time that he disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, the timeline's pretty simple here. At 10:55 p.m., he calls his father and says, "I'm fighting with my girlfriend, so I'm going to come over." And his father says, "Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should stay home and stay with your family, rest." You know, maybe his father could tell that he was irate. Maybe his father could tell that maybe he'd been drinking or something. We don't know. But his father says, "You should stay home and not come out."
Well, the other thing at play here is probably that his dad didn't want him driving at that time of night.
Yeah, and plus it's, you know, almost 11 o'clock at night. They say it's about a two-hour drive. Maybe he doesn't want to stay up till 1 in the morning waiting for his son to show up, you know? He actually won't leave for a little bit after that phone call. 12:38, Brandon had called his brother to tell him that he had ran out of gas. At 12:57 a.m., a truck driver had called 911 to report that there was a pickup truck parked on the shoulder, but it was kind of parked crooked, and the back end of the truck was hanging out into the lane of traffic, so it was pretty dangerous, especially if you think this is a very desolate highway. There's nothing around. Truckers and cars driving through here at 1 a.m. in the morning, they could be doing 90 miles per hour, and there's a vehicle that's, you know, out in the lane. So pretty dangerous. Trucker calls in. That 911 call you heard, Brandon called into 911 at 12:50 a.m. So just before the trucker called in. The county down there, you know, it's a small police force that supports and serves a large area. Not a lot of budget and funding down there. So when you call, at least in 2013, when you call 911, it actually gets routed to a rest home, a nursing home. The nurses there actually take the call and are the dispatch. They don't feel the need for a full-on dispatch office. And to say that they might be undertrained and overwhelmed by a serious situation like this might be an understatement. I heard that 911 call. I didn't know it was said. And people are like, well, why didn't they ask him where he was? Why didn't they ask him who he was? You know, basic information. That didn't happen. And I heard the call and I'm like, I wouldn't have known what to say to this guy. He was just yelling into the phone incoherently. So Brandon calls at 12:50. The trucker calls at 12:57. And so his brother and a police deputy showed up at 1:10 a.m. And the police deputy was more or less showing up because of the trucker 911 call, not because of Brandon's 911 call. Because what's the lady that took the 911 call going to say? There's a guy somewhere in a field who needs help and wants the cops. She has no idea who, where, when, what. She doesn't know anything. So that call didn't really go anywhere. The cop's there because of the trucker call. Kyle, his brother, and the cop are at the scene not too long after the initial incident, the initial 911 call.
So whatever happened, happened quick. Brandon would make another call, get a hold of Kyle's girlfriend. And now why does he call Kyle's girlfriend? Like, where's the phone at? Do you know that whole situation? Like, Kyle's obviously at his truck. So why is his girlfriend answering his phone?
Well, I don't know exactly. It could be that they have a landline that he's calling.
Okay. So he talks to Kyle's girlfriend and says, I'm bleeding and I'm about 10 minutes down the road. Kind of a weird conversation there.
It's only a weird conversation because that's all we're told.
Yeah.
This isn't something that's been recorded, and we're relying on this other person to tell us exactly what Brandon said, but it seems a little sketchy on details. Or, again, he sounds incoherent, possibly.
Yeah. Plus, there's really bad cell phone reception out there, wireless reception, and the calls are dropping, not getting signal. So the 911 call, I can't tell if it's just a horrible call or what, but it's if it drops or if he hangs up on them. So that night, they're all out in the middle of the highway looking for Brandon, and the police officer, like, well, he ran off. He's not here now, so not much we can do. Also, the police officer came one way on the highway, whereas Kyle, his brother, came the other way. So neither one of them saw anyone walking down the highway. So we know that Brandon wasn't walking along the highway. And when you analyze that 911 call a little bit more, you hear him say, I'm standing in the middle of a field. So he's obviously not on the road.
Well, at least at the time, he could have re-entered the pavement.
Yeah, but obviously no one saw him, so they're not.
Well, I'm not sure. It would depend on if they were looking. I could imagine Kyle looking as he drove, possibly.
Yeah.
But was the deputy looking? He was just answering a call about a truck.
I would think that if the deputy saw some guy walking down the road and then came across this abandoned truck where Kyle's there saying, this is my brother's truck and I didn't see a, you know, and I don't know where he is, I would hope that the deputy would say, I saw a guy walking down the highway.
But it's a very desolate road.
Yeah.
It's not well lit. And so you're depending upon someone paying attention to both sides of the road as they drive down the road. And I can imagine the deputy not really doing that.
I just don't think Brandon was on the highway at all. I think he ran off the highway for whatever reason and stayed off the highway.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
According to the family, the police say he must have run off. The police say that he had another girlfriend that he must have gone to. They're not exactly treating it as a missing persons case. They're not ringing the alarm bells and searching the hills and surrounding area. If I were to compare this to the Alfred Wright case, I personally view the Alfred Wright case as the police did initially take it very seriously, went out and searched the area, and they might have stopped searching sooner than they should. But in this situation, the police are not searching anything. They're not really taking anything seriously. They have the car they have the pickup truck towed and impounded. They check it for his keys, his phone. They check it for anything, and they notice that the keys and his phone are missing from the truck. There's no blood. There's no sign of foul play in their mind. A truck parked on the side of the highway, and according to his brother, Kyle, there's no gas in it. So he ran out of gas and called his brother for help, and then ran into some sort of trouble in that half hour, 20 minute time between I'm out of gas and this 911 call. None of them know that he's called 911. They only know that he's called his brother at 12:38 about the gas situation, and then he called his brother's girlfriend. So the second call was around 1:10, 1:15 to Kyle's girlfriend.
But here's the thing. Kyle knows of this. He knows that his brother's on the line with his girlfriend, but Kyle doesn't report this to the deputies. He doesn't say, well, he's on the phone right now. And there could be different reasons for that. If he knows that, well, he's on the phone with your girlfriend, you'll get it sorted out, then why would the deputy stay around? Yeah. Or what if he's worried about the deputy being the one to find his brother?
So, yeah. So that's sort of interesting that Kyle and the family knows about the gas call and they know about the girlfriend call. They don't know about the 911 call. But if he's calling about, I'm bleeding, I'm hurt, I'm down the road, they know something's up. Ledessa won't find out about the 911 call until she's checking Brandon's phone records, the Verizon records, when she sees 911 has been dialed. So more alarm bells for the family.
Well, think about it. Without the 911 call, what do they have? They have this guy ran out of gas and possibly walked away.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's a little concerning.
And hurt. That's it.
It's a little concerning, but it's not the same as what you hear on the 911 call, which, depending on what you think you hear, could be a very alarming situation on the extreme end. How concerned are they at that point? Without the 911 call, I mean, if he does go out to the field, let's just put it this way, the environment out there is not kind. So he could easily get caught up in the brush and just wandering around out there.
Yes.
Or we know there are wild animals out there, rattlesnakes and wild boar. So he could easily get cut one way or another.
They're concerned because he says he's bleeding. But when you hear the 911 call and he says, and I'm just going to summarize because there's so much debate over what he actually says in this call. So we'll play it again. He says, I'm in the middle of a field. I ran into a guy. And then what sounds like a state trooper or something that has ST at the beginning of it.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. A state just threw some guys over. Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. A state just threw some guys over.
And they chase him into the woods.
My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got to take the bitch to the woods. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got to take the bitch to the woods.
And then they ask him, do you need an ambulance? Do you need medical help? Are you hurt? He says, yeah, no, I need the cops. or he says, I know I need the cops. But you definitely hear him say, I need the cops.
Yes, no, I need the cops. Okay.
And we've talked about this. Some speculate that it wasn't Brandon that said, yeah, if we want to go with that word. But you and I were talking about this, and we think that because of the clarity of the word, yeah, that would have to be someone right there with the cell phone, not someone nearby, because that's not how cell phones work.
And the yeah, no, it sounds funky to me, but it could just be him sort of blathering. I don't know. I mean, the call quality is crap, and the call recording is even worse. And the operator on the other line isn't taking control to call. So there's not much you can derive from this 911 call, except he's in trouble. You can tell he's afraid. You can tell he's in fear of something. You can assume that he ran into somebody after he ran out of gas. He walked down the road and ran into somebody or something that has now scared him away, and he's running away. Now, you say you heard gunshots in the background.
Well, there are different ways of looking at the call. Sounds like he might have said, they shot the first guy.
Yeah.
But you can listen to it again, and depending on if you've read the transcripts, these are transcripts by people who have listened and tried to type out what they hear. Or if you're just listening yourself, you might hear something else. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you said, it could be what?
Oh, yeah. Is she, the 911 operator says, you ran into somebody, and he says, just the first guy. The second guy, or the third party that's involved, showed up. So if you're going off what Brandon's saying on the call as being, you know, gospel, he was walking and he ran into somebody, and then somebody else showed up. And when we say ran into somebody, we mean you approach somebody, you encounter somebody, not that he had a car accident, because his truck had no damage, nothing wrong with it, except for they say it's out of gas. So the operator thinks he's had an accident, and that's why she asks if he needs, you know, medical assistance. But he ran into the first guy, and then something went wrong.
When I listen to this, I hear they shot the first guy, or they got the first guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I hear. I hear one of those two things. If he's saying, yeah, no, I need the cops, why would he need the cops? Now, if someone is getting shot, he would need the cops. Mm-hmm. Barring someone getting shot, why would he need the cops? What's prompting this guy to call and request the police? That could fit. The whole gunshot sound.
And people like to hang on a state trooper rolled up and shot the first guy. I don't hear state trooper, but I hear something that sounds similar to that. But I wouldn't expect a cop rolling up and shooting people. I mean, that would be all over the police radios and everything. Like, that wouldn't be just some random, yeah.
Again, it comes down to, what do you hear? It could be edited. It could be funny cellular connection.
Yeah.
And then, so he's either saying scaper or staper or something like that. But it could be, if you take state trooper and you lose some of that information, it could come out that way. So it just depends on if you're missing some information in there, if the call sort of dips a little bit, as in, you know, his connection's already bad. He's not exactly speaking clearly into the phone. Not every word is going to come out clearly, yeah. Especially if you're speaking a sentence and any of that call gets slightly dropped, or you're not speaking clearly into the phone, it could come out funny.
I mean, I have Sprint, and every day we talk, Aaron, and every day I think our call drops at least once. And before it drops, it's usually, so yeah, it happens. People think that the call has been edited. People have an issue with the call. Part of this reason is the family knew that he called 911. They asked the police for the recording, and it took the police months. I think it might be 4 months before they handed this call over to the family. So why did it take so long? I mean, how many people work at this police station? How long would it take to get a recording of a phone call? Like, is obviously not a lot of effort going on there. The next few days, the family is in high alert. They're going out. They're trying to search for their boyfriend, their loved one, their father, their son. There's a couple houses around this area, but for the most part, it's miles from anything. They're trying to go to the property owners' houses to say, hey, can we search your land? And the police, the sheriff,
Sheriff Wayne McCutcheon,
he's telling the family, stop harassing the landowners. We're searching the areas, so you don't need to. Family's not exactly happy with these statements. At one point, Brandon's father is out, and they're riding around on ATVs in that area, and a patrol car rolls up. According to Bradley, his father says, what's going on? And the deputy says, I'm just making sure that you don't jump that fence, that you don't go onto that person's property. Not, I'm here to help you look for your son. I'm here to enforce trespassing crimes in the middle of nowhere. Again, the family, Brandon's family, is feeling like the police are not exactly on their side. They're feeling that they would rather arrest them for searching for their son than help search for their son.
Well, and it's said that the comments by the police were that Brandon probably just ran off with another woman.
And his cell phone wasn't used after that night. And he didn't come back for his truck because his truck was impounded. He had the keys of the truck and he had his cell phone, and he doesn't show back up. Yeah, obviously he's not ran off with another girl. That's just not the deal. The law enforcement changes their tune a little bit and says, well, he just ran off and he was probably on drugs. They make this assumption, I'm assuming because Brandon had in the past issues with drugs and he actually had a warrant for his arrest that was issued years prior. So he had a warrant for his arrest for a long time and was never arrested. And obviously not pulled over, because if he had been pulled over, he would have been arrested for this outstanding warrant. But it was a drug-related warrant. Either A, he didn't pay off a fine, so something happened, but something wasn't taken care of to the point where he had a warrant out.
Well, Ledesa said that they didn't hide, so their address was readily available to the police if they wanted to track him down and arrest him, which they didn't do. So it further underlines that this warrant maybe wasn't a big deal. Yeah. In other words, it probably is not a factor in why Brandon has gone missing and has not been found.
The sheriff's wife happens to work for the local newspaper, and she writes up a couple pieces about the situation, and she puts details in her story that are pretty close to the case, meaning only somebody that had a line to the police officers involved in the investigation would have known these details. Other media outlets would contact the sheriff and the police department and not get much of a response. So the family feels that the police are not working with the media, and the one news story that was written about their missing son was written by the sheriff's wife, who says that the police and the sheriff did everything they could and they were wasting their time because this wasn't even that big of a deal, and Brandon had a checkered past anyways.
And didn't she say that Brandon was not in that county?
Yeah. The headline to the actual story was law enforcement concludes man not in Coke County.
So concludes meaning we look and he wasn't there. They do a search on October 24th of that same year in 2013. And they have Texas Search and Rescue providing human remains, dogs, and they can't find Brandon. Of course, they say they do the grid search. They have an aerial search that uses infrared. But, you know, I mean, if you're using infrared and it's been 2 months, or I guess it would be over 2 months, how would you find a warm Brandon out there? What's he living on? Is he killing wild boar and drinking their blood and eating them? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's preposterous. So again, to me, yeah, they mobilized the search, but by using infrared, that's either incompetence or they're not taking this seriously enough.
They didn't search until much later. So, I mean, when you have a missing person, when you have a murder, when you have any kind of crime, those first, as they say, the first 48 hours are the most critical. First 48 hours, all they really accomplished was impounding his truck.
They want more searches to be conducted, and the police won't accommodate them. They say they need new information before they can put together another search. And do they have new information? Well, actually, they do get more information. They discover that there's a ping from his cell phone a few miles away. But according to Ledesa and the others, the police don't find this compelling enough to act on it. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Just for like, well, so he used his phone and it was a few miles away. Who cares? We all know cell phone towers are a little flaky as far as giving an exact location for somebody, but they can put him a few miles away within 30 minutes of the initial call, depending on if you're running through rough terrain or if you're running on the highway. That means Brandon was booking it. That means he was running for his life through this terrain and stuff and then calling again. So he probably would have torn himself up pretty good if he was running through the brush, but we don't really know. We don't know where that call was made from exactly. So we don't know what route he would have taken to get there.
But it gives them an idea that he had moved further in another direction and wasn't even 10 minutes, like he said before. He was no longer 10 minutes from where his truck was. He was much further away.
Yeah.
So let's recap a little bit, because with all these details, I'm sure it's easy to get a little confused or forget something. He leaves his house before midnight and he gets about 45 minutes, 50 minutes or so away from the house. And that's when his truck runs out of gas.
And he calls his brother to tell him it ran out of gas.
Yes. And then he calls 911. And then sometime after that, he'll call Kyle's girlfriend. Kyle's his brother. Also during this time, he has tried calling Ledesa, but Ledesa has her phone inside of her vehicle because Brandon took their wall charger with him when he left. So the only way for her to charge her phone was to use the mobile charger inside the car.
Yeah.
So she didn't get any of these calls from him.
And just for clarification real quick, you can charge your phone in your car. Maybe she had the car running. Some cars you can turn on the aux and it'll charge your phone. So I know people were asking about that. Like, how was she charging her phone in the car? Like, that's impossible unless she was sitting in it.
In 2013, I have a 2014 vehicle and I can charge without the vehicle running. I just plug it in and...
My car, you actually... My car, it has to be running. But my car is a 2007. Regardless, her phone's in the car. She's missing the calls from Brandon. We have two theories here, right, Aaron? I kind of side with one of them, and I think you might side with the other, but the outcome's sort of the same on either one. My theory is he ran out of gas. He got out of his truck. He was walking down the highway, and he came across somebody that was either parked on the side of the road, or they thought he was hitchhiking or needed help, and they pulled over, and he ran into somebody, and then a third party showed up, and something bad happened, and he ran away from it. Whether or not he was attacked by these people, I don't know, but he felt threatened by them, and he ran off into the woods, and then was either injured and died or ran off and just succumbed to the elements, whatever happened. I think his body is within 10 miles of where his truck is, in a 10-mile radius somewhere. I think he ran across somebody and he ran off. That's just going off the 911 call and the call to his brother, those things.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, passes the savings on to you, and Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices. Along with premium fabrics and finishes, how can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
Well, we should say that there aren't really woods there.
Yeah.
It's brush.
It's brush, and it's pretty harsh terrain.
But we might be nitpicking, because just because he uses the term woods doesn't necessarily mean that's indicative of what he's seeing. That's just the word. That's the term he uses.
I think that the police didn't take it that seriously, because even Kyle says he thought Brandon might have been hiding from the deputy, the cops, because of the warrant. This is from Kyle. This isn't the police. So Kyle thought that, and it's a possibility that, hey, I'm in trouble, but I do have a warrant, so maybe I want to hide from the cops. It makes sense, but I don't know if I go with that, because I wouldn't call the cops if I'm going to just turn around and hide from them. I'm not going to call the police if I'm not going to want their assistance. I mean, I don't know. It's a mess right there of, he called, he wanted the cops there. He had a problem. I don't see him hanging out to avoid the cops now, especially if it's that dire of a situation where he's bleeding and he's been attacked or something to that effect. I guess that's where we come to this secondary theory.
Well, let's set this up, because he's supposedly at his house, and he gets into an argument with his girlfriend, and it's bad enough that he wants to leave. Mm-hmm. As we said, he ends up calling his father. His father tries to talk him out of it, and he won't hear of that. He's leaving the house. Now, he could go to another room and chill out. He didn't have to stay in the room with his girlfriend. So he doesn't actually have to leave the house at all if he wants to get away from her. But he chooses to leave. And this could be a good opportunity for him to blow off steam. Now, one thing we didn't mention was, this is a guy who, according to LaDessa, worked up to 95 hours in a single week. Imagine. I can't even imagine that. Mm-mm. I've worked 60 hours, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
I've met people who are chefs, and they say they've worked a ton of hours. But for a guy to work 95 hours in a week, he's probably being run ragged. He has four kids. He's got a common-law wife. And then he's working all these hours. And we know he's had past troubles with drugs. So is it that much of a stretch to say that to blow off steam, he decided to use something, some kind of substance, perhaps meth? And then we also know that people who have used this drug can experience a disconnect. They start experiencing things that we wouldn't, because we're not on drugs.
Yeah. When you mentioned that he works 95 hours a week, well, meth is the drug of choice for hard workers. I hate to put it that way, but it keeps you going. It keeps you up. It keeps you somewhat functional. So if he was on meth, that would explain why he would have a freak out and run off. I can accept it as plausible, just as much as I could accept that he ran into somebody along the road as being plausible too. But he ran off the road.
And he's making all of these calls, and he's not very coherent. Like, you listen to him talk, and there's all this debate on the internet about what he's saying. Some people hear gunshots, some people don't. Some people hear him saying possibly what is meant to be state trooper. Other people say, no, it was escape.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all these disagreements over what he's actually saying. Why can't we just accept that it's possible that he was out of his mind? I mean, this is a guy being run ragged, possibly on drugs, and then he's out in, you know, a dangerous part of his state. It's a desolate area. It's very dangerous out there with the wildlife and the terrain and the kind of brush that's out there. I could see him getting cut up pretty good out there. And then if he's panicked, he's just going to keep going away.
Yeah.
And now there's another way to set this up is, so he calls and then the police and his brother show up fairly quickly. You said, they don't see him on the road.
Yeah.
So if he was wanting help, he would have made his presence known somewhere, right? He doesn't do that. So you might say, well, but there were people after him.
But the people were gone by that point. He might not know that they were gone, but the people were gone. He had run away from them. And their cars were not on the highway or anywhere around because Kyle nor the deputy saw anyone else around besides the normal cars passing by. But nobody saw a group of people or person looking for Brandon.
So if Brandon's messed up, everything he does is going to make little sense to us. And that's what my point is. Everybody's trying to decipher what he's saying. Maybe that's the point. Maybe we're trying to decipher the words of someone who's going crazy. And of course, we'll hear what we think we hear. He may not even know what he's doing. This could be an exercise in futility at this point. So some people think that he was being attacked, that someone else was being attacked as well. I would say, let's just go with that. I mean, now you have two people that are possibly victims, maybe three. So the police never came across any victims out there?
Yeah, they never came across any other person. No other person apparently called 911 either.
Yeah, and so look at it this way. You have Brandon, who's 230 pounds. I mean, who's going to lift and carry him somewhere?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work to do while the cops are on their way. You're talking about such a short window of time. If no one had been called and he just disappeared, no police were dispatched, that's a desolate area. I could believe a lot could happen in that time, but not when the police are called, his brother's headed out there, they're coming from opposite directions. Where are they going? I mean, how do you get away from that? It just doesn't make sense to me. When I originally looked into this, it certainly seemed like he was under attack, but when I put together what his girlfriend had said about the amount of time that he was working and his responsibilities and that he was really trying to clean himself up and he had passed a drug test recently. I mean, you know how difficult that is? And if he has a really bad fight, who knows?
Yeah.
When you get in a bad fight with someone, you don't know if they're going to forgive you. You don't know what their response will be the next time you talk to them. You have no idea. That's in their head. You don't know what they're thinking. And supposedly they had fights in the past, but was he working this many hours at the time? Was he really trying to keep straight and narrow at the, you know, back then? I mean, this is a guy that was really trying to clean up his act, according to his girlfriend. So that's a lot of pressure. I could totally see him wanting to get out of the house so he could use drugs.
Yeah, no, I could see it. And I could even say that he might have been clean up until this point, and this fight or whatever could have thrown him over the edge. I still want to believe Brandon on the 911 call myself. I still think that he ran into something, somebody that freaked him out. But I think both theories, whether he ran into somebody and ran off or he just ran off due to whatever, I think they're both very plausible. I don't know if I believe in the whole police conspiracy and cover up. There's a lot of different rumors going around that the police showed up and started shooting, so they have to cover this up. There's other ideas that if Brandon ran onto a landowner's property and hurt himself or died on the property, there's a liability thing going on there, and the cops are thinking, well, he's just some ex-drug user that's now dead, and this is a, you know, respectable landowner, so I'm going to say, no, let's not go find this because we're going to protect the landowner's rights now and not some kid that just ran off on drugs. I personally just think that the cops in that area, they just didn't care that much, and they didn't come off very well. And I don't know if I believe the, if I buy into the conspiracy, but I sure understand why the family would think that, because as we noted, they didn't inform them of the 911 call, probably just because, I mean, when you're calling into a nursing home and, you know, and like I don't think there's any malice there.
He didn't give his name. There wasn't very good information on his location.
Yeah. It just took time to figure that out. As far as other elements to it, yeah, the cops probably could have been a lot nicer, probably could have been a lot more forthcoming. They probably could have worked with the family more, but they didn't. And guess what? They really don't have to. It sucks. I don't know if the cops are trying to cover anything up. I just think that they were unhelpful, or the family has been really... You lose anybody, any loved one. That's the most important thing to you. To the police department, they have to deal with that on a daily basis, that they don't always come off the way that you want them to. The quote-unquote bedside manner, not the best sometimes.
I should say that since I believe the drug angle, that he had a really bad night and took something and just basically lost it, that 98% of the time they can be solid people, but you can have a bad moment, and that's all it can take for your life to spiral out of control is one bad moment. And we don't understand what it was like for him to have this argument with his girlfriend. We don't know what they argued about. So according to Ledessa, it was just typical relationship stuff. You know, they have kids, they have jobs. They're trying to make ends meet. It's tough on them. And it's just sometimes things come to a head. But this was really important to Brandon. He's been with her for 10 years. And as we said, he passed the drug test. He got a new job. He was really trying to help his family out. But the amount of pressure he was under, the amount of hours he was working, the amount of responsibilities that he has. And like I said, if he chooses to use drugs... Hell, smokers, that's how they relapse. You know, they quit smoking and then they have a bad day. They're back out there either borrowing a cigarette or buying a pack themselves.
Yeah.
And someone who uses drugs could do the same thing. That's maybe how he chose to blow off steam. But whatever happened, all we can say is we agree that he took off and probably succumbed to the elements somehow. It's not that difficult to die out there. There's no assistance, and you're up against nature in the dark with no supplies. What does he have with him? He has a cell phone and he has some keys. He's not ready to be out there. And if he gets injured out there, which is entirely possible, Ledessa brought that up herself. She mentioned rattlers. She mentioned wild boar. And if you die out there, it doesn't take long for your body to disappear. The wildlife will take care of you.
I think that's part of the frustration from the family, and at least his father, is he said he just wanted to bring his son home. I think they have accepted that their son is dead somewhere in that area, and they just wanted to find his body. But because of the police saying, don't go harass landowners, and according to the family, they say that when they actually did go talk to the landowners, the police told them, don't let anyone come on your land unless you get our okay first. So the family feels like they're stuck in between a rock and a hard place. They can't ask the landowners if they can search their property. And when they do, the landowners say, the cops said not to let anyone on my land unless they approve it. Here we are in a circular argument of their son is gone and they have no closure.
It's difficult enough to find someone when you're talking about such a large area. So when you're told there's all this land over here that you can't search, I mean, your hands are tied. There's a good possibility he jumped a fence and went onto someone's property. We will be playing the call again for you so you can hear it again. And it is on YouTube in different editions, I'll say. Some people have tried to clean it up. Some people have put transcripts up with their videos. I know we have a lot of listeners in Texas, and for whatever reason, some of you may not have been aware of this case until now, but I wanted to read off information about Brandon Lawson in case possibly you could help. Brandon Lawson, a white male. At the time, he was 26 years old. That would be 2013 that he went missing. He was 5'9", 230 pounds. He had brown hair, blue eyes. He had multiple tattoos. He was wearing a yellow shirt with camo shorts and white Air Max brand shoes. So if you have any information or if you know something, then you're encouraged to call the Texas Department of Public Safety or your local police.
Also, you can check out the Vanished episode that Marissa has done. It's pretty good, too.
2013,
0:50 and 38
seconds.
911
emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. The tape was just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. You got to take the bitch to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
We're not talking to him. Hi, so you ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
You need an ambulance?
Yes, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.